We're very thankful this morning to be back in the house of God and thankful to be alive. Amen. How many of you are thankful to be alive? God has blessed us to see another day, one we've never seen before. And we will never see this one again. So we're thankful that God has graced us with mercy, long-suffering, and allowed us to be in this place for the purpose of worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, Lord, we pray. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're very honored and special guest of the audience. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. We believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. In order to get to heaven, one must believe that Bible. So many people say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe everything in the Bible. So you're having many problems with belief. But that's the heart of unbelief. You can't get to heaven until you sign. The Bible is going to be the absolute guide to that decision. And we have an audio problem this morning, so reverb. There we go. All right, we got the adjustment. Okay, now, so with that being in, I do that because I want the audience to make sure we're not being disturbed by our audio system here. I don't want you to miss the message. We can turn this one off if you have to, guys. Turn this one off if it's causing. Is it this one? Got it? All right, good. The Lord, your soul is too important for me to allow technology to stop me from saying these things I'm saying. I don't want you to miss this point. Amen. Yeah, we have to pause and sing again. We will to get this right. To the visitor, you have to obey God to go to heaven. That's all there is to it. We live in a religious world and want us to just believe anything. I'm going to tell you, anyone that's going to go to heaven got to conclude that the Bible is right. And it's the only answer that we can follow truthfully. It's the only thing we can trust. You cannot trust what Brother Brooks say. You can only trust what I read. And you should read it for yourself. Now, those who are going to be saved will believe that Jesus was on the cross, not because they saw him on the cross, but because the Bible says it. And that he shed his blood that will purchase his church, and that blood will wash your sins away in baptism. That same blood you drink every week. It is only through the blood can we be saved. None of us can do it on our own. You got to understand, if you're not, and this is Christian, this is the Church of Christ members too, just to the visitor, you got to be washed in the blood, you got to be in the blood purchase church, you got to be drinking the blood every week, and you got to walk in the light as he's in the light so that you can have that fellowship maintained. And that fellowship maintaining is the blood. The blood of Jesus, the only thing going to get us in. Because we're warring with the flesh. We're living as men, women, nature. There's a war going on, the flesh against the spirit. And so the spirit gave us what to do. And it has to guide your life. So just because you're a member of Church of Christ doesn't guarantee you that you're going to heaven. Amen. If you're not living like the spirit says live. Amen. So you got to understand, all of us who are going to go to heaven got to conclude that I'm going to do it the way God said do it, because you're not going to go. So some of you Church of Christ folk halfway doing this thing. That's what I'm talking about this week with the visitors. You haven't even got started if you haven't got baptized. If you're not in the church, you can read about the Bible, which is the Church of Christ. You say, well, that's the point I don't believe. Well, the problem with belief is that it's in the Bible. So now you're saying you don't believe in Jesus. Because if anything in this book's wrong, what makes your Jesus a truth? What is going on with this thing? Can we just turn this mic off then? Just turn this lapel off. Is it off? Okay, thank you. I'll just stay right here. Okay, thanks. So, brothers and sisters, to the visitor, you got to obey God. Amen. Members of the church, you got to live according to the scripture. That's from the oldest to the youngest in the audience. You don't want to think because you're old, you got a guarantee to go in. If you're in your senior life, you got to live like God told you to live, to go to heaven. People are dying every day. If death's not real to you, at what point do it become reality that you're going to die? How many of you talk to your family about dying? You're going to die. Do they know what to do? Have you prepared them? Are you prepared for death? Are you prepared for the next person who's going to die in your family? Are you prepared if it's you? How you going to deal with it? Would your soul be saved right now if you died? How many of you can say you'd be saved? Then you say, well, why do we even come here every Sunday? Why do we get baptized? Why are we Christians? Why do we drink the blood? Aren't we trying to get to heaven, right? Yes or no? Amen. So if we're trying to get to heaven, why wouldn't we just do what God tells us to do? Amen. Or maybe this series I'm talking about now, you're standing right on your feet. And last week I introduced that from Acts chapter 14. A man was at the gate. And Paul told him he had never walked from his mother's womb. Did the Acts chapter 14, verse 8. And so this is a more of a serious delivery this morning. And I just left a lectureship in Dallas where I preached similar to this, and some of you may have seen it, but it was 38 people responding. I started thinking about why in Holland Heights responding to these messages. Have you got too used to me? Are you too used to the same message? I preach with the same passion. Or maybe I'm in a different place because I went through a serious death. 38 people responded to the truth. And I'm worried about, what about my congregation? Are they too used to Brother Brooks? Are they not taking the things I'm saying serious? Do we not know you're going to die? Don't we know we're going to get the phone call? Or is it more real to me than it is you? Am I in a different place spiritually, how nice, than you are? I want us to think about this. And that's why I chose this series here. The people I want to get there are the people I love and I minister to. I want you to be okay. I want us to try to go together. Amen. Don't y'all want to try to go? I want to try to go together. How do we do this? We take the message of God and let it work on us. We take the word of God serious. We don't just come here for social reasons. We don't just come here to gather together and get to know each other and have a hug and go home and keep doing everything wrong. We come here to make change. We come here to do things differently. What is the end goal? Prepare to die. Prepare to die. Don't stick your head in the sand like it ain't going to happen. So when you die, it's an option. You can die under God's will and go to heaven, or you can die according to your will and lose your soul. In Acts 14, Paul said in Acts 14, verse 8, he said,
there sat a certain man at Lystra.
There was a man at Lystra.
Impotent in his feet.
He was impotent with that power to save himself.
Being a cripple from his mother's womb.
That's why I said, we are that power to save ourselves. We can't do it. We can't save ourselves. We're sinful people, y'all. We got an issue. You know what our issue is? It's not other people. The issue is me. My issue is sin. You know what your issue is? Sin. You say, which one? Well, you tell me, and I'll tell you. But we know, God and you know what your sin is. And some of you already hit you at the beginning of the sermon. I've already got into your mind. And that's what I'm trying to do. Come right in here Not this thing here. This is a blood problem. That's the world. People don't know the Bible. They're all talking about this stuff peeling on their heart. I see members of the church feeling, you know, I my feel in my heart. That feeling stuff. You don't get on no freeway and feel your way to Beaumont. You read a map. It's just foolish to say stuff like I feel. Feelings don't mean anything. It just tells us how you think. You got to know what God wants you to do. The man had no power. Y'all, we as mankind, we have no power to save ourselves. Read.
Being a cripple from his mother's womb.
Now, this was from birth. He was like this. Read.
Who never had walked.
He never had walked. When I talked about like last week, is some of us have never walked with the Lord. We call ourselves Christians. Have never walked with the Lord. Amen. You say, well, brother, I got baptized, but you never walked with the Lord. Because if you walk with the Lord, you know what to do. And you would do it. And then he said, what? Paul looked at him.
The same heard Paul speak.
He heard Paul telling him what to do.
Who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed.
Paul looked at him and said, this man really want to be healed. How many of you guys really want to be healed?
Amen.
Say amen if you do.
Amen.
Right? Say amen if you don't. You ain't going to lie, you know? Actions speak. See, you can say amen to me and say lie to God. But he know the truth. He know what we do when nobody else is looking. He know what we're thinking. He know what our priorities are. He know who going to put him first on Sunday morning. He know who put their job first every day of the week, and on Sunday morning they late every week. Never put God first in your life. You've never walked with him. You can't say you walk with God and keep him on your back burner. Oh, it's quiet this morning. Well, get quiet when you start talking about the real talk. The real talk. It's real talk. It's real quiet when we talk real talk. Well, maybe that's what we need more of, real talk. Right, y'all? Say amen if it's right. I mean, learn to go along with it. Even when I'm coming down your street, just say amen. Because right is, somebody just said it, right is right. And guess what? Like the lady in Arkansas told me, I used to say, if the shoe fit, put it on. She's an old lady, too. She passed. She came out, she said, Brother Brooks. I said, yes, ma'am. You know, I respect old folk. She said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, you always say if the shoe fit, put it on. She said, but sometimes it gets tight. She said, it sure enough hurt. So she was telling me the truth. She said, even I'm old, man. Sometimes you come down there and put that shoe on, it hurt. You know how it hurt. When you tell people the truth and it fits, it hurt, don't it? Sometimes, you know, how we help our children by telling them the what? Tell them the truth. And the truth sometimes hurt. So am I hurting you? Maybe so. Maybe so. Maybe you want that old standard, hallelujah, praise the Lord God. I've been too blessed to be distressed and wave your hand and clap and all that. At the end of the day, you're lost. What you clapping for? Come on, give God a hand clap of praise for what? Let's look again. You need to clap your hand for you. Have you praised him with your lips? Are you praising him with your life? God hadn't done anything wrong. It's always us. This man stood up on his feet. Paul told him to stand up. He stood up and leaped. At some point, you got to leap. You got to take action. You're going to be a better daddy? Leap. Better mama? Leap. Better leader in the church? You got to leap. You got to move. You can't just keep sitting and be a good leader in the church. You can't just keep sitting and be the best daddy you can be. You're going to have to lead your family, bro. You know what I talked about last week? So the first lesson was admitting I'm not the mama I should have been. I'm not the daddy I could be. I'm not the husband I could be. I'm not the wife I could be. I'm not the sister in the church I could be. I'm not the brother I could be. I'm not the child of my mama I could be. I admit. And I talk about how the children, you're going to drive your own mama crazy. Some of you are going to put your mama in the grave early. And if you don't stand up right and admit you're the one doing it, you're going to keep doing it. And some of you young adults are doing this to your mama still. You out of the house on your own. You ain't admit it. That what you're doing to your parents is hurting them.
Amen.
That's what we talked about last week. How many brothers are going to admit you ain't the brother you should be in the church? When are you going to admit it? You can't just sit on the pew the rest of your life and call yourself a good leader in the church. At some point, you got to get up, stand up, and start serving God. You say, well, Brother Brooke, what about sisters? I'm talking to them too. But I'm talking to men first. Because God put us in leadership. Sometimes our sisters, and I applaud our sisters, they'll back us up. Sometimes they make us look bad. Well, they outnumber us too. But that's no excuse. Because God always used a few good men. You can think of God like old Uncle Sam. I used to hate that sound. You walk by, you ain't want to go in the room here. I don't want to come at you. You walk that way either. See, like everywhere you went, they had that thing signed up. You're like, you. I said, I ain't going. You. See, God is pointing at you, and you keep saying, I ain't going. Ain't no draft there. Ain't no draft in this woman, though. It's voluntary. Amen. You got to admit I'm going to be this for God. I got to admit where you are. You got to admit you're going to be a better wife to your husband. If you never ever be a better wife until you admit you're not the good as you should be. You're not going to admit, until you admit you're not the sister you could be in this church, you're not going to ever be it. You got to admit I'm not where I should be. You got to admit. And that's what I'm, that's the whole lesson is that. And then, and once we admit, we got a permit. That's afternoon last week. What do you mean permit? You got a permission. God is Jesus standing at your door. I want to help you be the best you can be. And he said, I stand at your door and knock. If you'll open, I'll come in and sup with you. That's where that lesson came from. See, when we let the Lord into our life, I'm talking, well, I accept Jesus, my personal Savior in my life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the word of God coming into your mind. And then the word of God is making the, you are changing based on what Jesus said do. Amen. That's how you let the Lord in your life. That's what he mean by I stand. He's talking about the door of the heart. The heart is just the skull here. The inside is the mind. And in the entry to the mind is through the ears. And the word of God has to come through your ears. And you can't have a hard heart because it don't penetrate. A hard heart do not receive the word of God with meekness. Those who receive James 1:21, when you receive the word of God with meekness, you let it come in and then it mix with belief or faith. So if you believe being faithful is a command from God, you hear it and you believe you got to do that to go to heaven, you start being faithful. You got to mix whatever God said. If he said, forsake not the assembly, that must mix with belief that I can't forsake the assembly. If he says, you hear him say, he that believe and is baptized shall be saved, that must mix with belief or faith, Hebrews 4:2. You got to mix with believing, I got to be baptized to be saved. If you go take communion, he said, this you do in remembrance of me, that had a mix with faith to believe that if I don't do it in remembrance of him, I have broken a command, I can't go to heaven. That's what the members of the church cry who miss every week is doing. You can't forsake this. This is a command. This you do is a command. You take communion once every other week. At what point do it mix in and say, well, you know what, I'm going to lose myself if I don't start going to church and giving right and take communion, singing and praying and doing all aspects of worship? See, when the word of God profits up is when it mixes with faith. Wait a minute, whatever goes into my mind, mix it with a belief that the Bible is teaching me right and I got to obey what the Bible says. That's what he means about, get that Hebrews 4:2. This is the last recap. I'm getting to the third part here in a second. This is permission. Hebrews 4:2.
For unto us was the gospel preached.
The Hebrew writer said, unto us was the gospel preached.
As well as unto them.
Yeah.
But the word preached did not profit them.
Now listen to this. The word preached did not help them. This is what I'm concerned about by members of the Lord's church. This is a Church of Christ question. To the members that I love, is the word of God helping you? He said it did not profit or benefit them. Why?
not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Because when they heard it, they didn't believe. They did not believe what they heard. So you have to, when the word of God go in your mind, it has to be a faith system inside of you that says, that's what God say. I got to do what God say do. Amen. Or you start deceiving yourself like you think you're going to heaven even though you ain't quite as faithful. And then you start making all these excuses. You know, well, you know, the Lord know my heart and I'm trying, Brother Brooks. You lying. You ain't trying. How are you going to say you trying and you do better going to work than you do come to worship? You know you ain't trying. You can set your alarm clock to be on time every Sunday just like you do work. Stop lying. You say, well, what are you saying, brother? I'm saying we go along with this stuff and we say things that we know ain't nothing doing nothing but justifying our wrongs. Now you squirming. Why? Because I called you a liar? You knew it before I told you. Amen. That's the problem. See, when you admit, I'm not going to bother you when I tell some of the truth. But you want to get away with it. That's why you don't want me saying these things. Am I going to get away with it as a member of the Lord's church? Because I'm a preacher? No. What about the person who cleaned the commodes? What about the doorkeeper? What about the elder? What about the deacon? What about the sisters in the church? Who gonna get away? None of us. Do I got an edge on you? No. We all got the same opportunity to be honest. Be honest. Keep it real. That's one thing you ought to learn from Brother Brooks. If I'm dead and gone, I want at least people say he was real. At least he was a real preacher. He didn't just fake. He didn't get up there like he was all this and that and bag of chips. I ain't got it going on like you do. But I can say this. I try. This is what I'm saying by trying. I ain't lying. I know where I fall short at too. I'm going to tell you the truth. But the only thing I got folk beat in this sense that I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to know when I'm in sin. I'm not going to act like I ain't right. I'm right when I'm not right. I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I need to say I'm sorry, I need to say I'm sorry. If I need to say forgive me, I need to say forgive me. I don't have no problem with nobody. I don't hate people. I can forgive anybody. I don't have nobody in my life I haven't forgiven. Ain't nobody done nothing so bad to me that I can't forgive them. Some of you all can't forgive nothing. Amen. What are you saying, brother? Because you don't live, you accept the fact that you saved without forgiving that person. Because you say things like, oh, you know, I forgive, but I just can't forgive. Yeah, why do you even have to say that then? Man. You say, well, I don't know. You know, I heard 20 messages on forgiveness down there. And then some folks stood up and say, well, bro, I just can't forgive you. The word of God ain't helping you at all. Amen. Yeah, see. When you permit the word of God to come into your life, you act on it. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? Brothers, y'all listen carefully. If you say you believe, then you got to do what it says. That includes confession. Listen to me. It's not that we ain't going to sin. It's not that we're going to make this thing without sinning. That's not what it is. You can't do it. See, that's why Jesus came to the cross. But what God wants you to do is admit it. That's what confession is. It ain't that God didn't know what you were doing. He saw you be like naked in front of him, Hebrews chapter 4. God know every one of us and everything we do ain't nothing here. Do you think he say confess your fault because he need to know? You know what God is saying? Stand up right on your feet and admit you fail. Then you're going to admit you need Jesus. Then you're going to admit you need the blood. And then the other part of that, stop blaming God for all your mistakes. Stop blaming everybody else for your stagnations, your failures, your lack of being what you want to be, and admit it's your fault. Some of us are so busy blaming everybody else. You know, this or this, that, my mama wasn't there for me, my daddy wasn't there for you. And your point? What's your point? You get to be bad now. You get to do what you want to do. You get to cut up and act up. You get to get angry when you want to. You get to have an outburst because you grew up in a dysfunctional family. because you didn't have everything everybody else had? When are you going to stop feeling sorry for yourself? At what point did you just get right? What are you saying, get right, brother? What are you saying? I'm just saying, line up and say, God, help me. So ask God forgive you. Try to be better. That's all I'm saying. You don't want to die with these excuses. You don't want preachers getting up here saying, oh, you good, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Trials dark on every hand, we may not understand. I know. But sometimes you got to get real. Admit. Then permit God in. And this third one is commit. What do you mean by commit? Go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. Don't go to sleep on me this morning. This is one of them kind that you'll enjoy when you get it. You ain't going to enjoy it when you're hearing it. You'll enjoy it when you get it. Amen. You'll be saying, thank God for the message. Amen. Listen to this. It was a wake-up call. One lady sent me a text in Texas. She said, Brother Brooks, you my rooster. I said, rooster? I ain't never been called a rooster. She sent me a long text. Boy, she was just so excited. I sent it to my secretary. She told him to send it. She wanted a CD. She's an older lady. She said she's too old to die in her sins. And she was not able to forgive, and because I preached like I'm doing now. She cried like a baby in front of everybody. Because finally she was able to let go. Because she was, you know, the sermon I was preaching down there was, pieces of it was living in the present and not in the past. Y'all remember when I just did that? The one thing we do, and some of you are still doing it, you got so caught up in your past life. That no, you are so miserable in your present time. You can't enjoy God. You can't have joy. Right today, ain't nothing going on with you right now. And then she said, I've been living with that in my daily life every day, brother. Bro, you are my rooster. You know, roosters do wake you up, right? I said, let me see if I can sound like a rooster. Trying to be a rooster to holler ice. Wake some of y'all up. Y'all sleep through worship. Let me talk about that for a minute. I see many of you sleeping through worship. You sleep on your jobs? That's sad. That you don't get enough rest to be alert in worship. Amen. And it's worship. It's not worship either. It's W-O-R. I say that because I hear a lot of you worship. Worship is worship on a star. You wish. We were sure. Let's everybody say it together. Worship. W-O-R, not worship, W-I-S-H-O-P. So maybe that's why you sleep, because you think this is worship. You come in here to worship every Sunday. But when you come to worship, you come in the presence of God. How would it look if God was standing up here and you were asleep? You did not take serious that you were going to be facing God. Sleep. Get you some rest on Saturday night. Now, if you want me to know if I notice you, ask me. Praise the name of Jesus. I'll tell you who sleep every Sunday. I'm just raw today, ain't I? I'm raw, ain't I? I'm really raw. Am I raw or just something you need to hear that's real, right? You going to sleep through on God? Let me be your rooster. Go to sleep on Saturday night. It's quiet and holler. See, now I'm going to get talked about. I'm going to get talked about. Brother Brooks, he just so, he this and that. I'm going to get talked about those who don't want to do right. Those who know I'm right. They ain't going to say nothing, but Brother Brooks, that was a good message. Thank you. Huh? 1 Peter. I might need to tell a joke or something right about here. It was a guy. I'll tell y'all a joke or something. His brother had died. And now his brother was a rascal boy. He was out there in the streets. And he was killing folk and chasing women and drinking and a drunkard. And he died. He heard the preacher say now. His brother went to the preacher. The preacher, look here, what I need you to do. Now, I know we know about my brother. But when you preach, Now I'm going to pay you $500. You just tell the people, my brother was a saint. Preach thought about it. You know, some preachers are. I better not say I preach. They might put me right there with a boat. You think you can pay me off? You got another thing coming. Let me set the record straight right now. I go to Hemp Hill and dig up taters. What's a tater? Boy, I used to plow grounds and plant greens and potatoes and tomatoes. And I can live like that. I've killed squirrels and hogs, wild hogs. I ain't scared of them. And a cleaner deer, too. You think I can't live without you? Can't be paid. But anyway, back to the joke. So the preacher thought about it because he was one of them kind that really wanted that $500. So he got up during the sermon. He was talking about his brother. He was talking about the sermon. He said, yeah, this man was a whoremonger. This man was a drunk. This man was a fighter. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. Give him my $500. Now, y'all forgot about me talking about you being sleepy, woke now. You were mad a while ago. Now you're laughing. See how I can change your mind real quick? That's just psychology. That's all it is. Now, let me get you back to being mad at him again. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, 19. I use a little reverse psychology. Let me make you laugh a little bit. I ain't been to school for that, but it worked. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Here's the two things I want to point out there to commit. The will of God versus your will. Commit the keeping, there's the word, commit. The keeping of their souls
to him in well-doing.
Everything I said is about keeping, committing to keep your soul saved. That's all I'm talking about. Y'all see that word commit in there? When you going to commit to keep your soul saved? When you going to commit to do what you got to do to save your soul? He said, now, according to whose will? Will of God. Get Hebrews 10:26 for me. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Two things I want to point out today. Those of us who will be saved because we were not willful in our sinning. Listen to the Bible, Hebrews 10:26. The book said what? Forsake not the assembly of ourselves together.
For if we sin willfully
If we sin how?
Willfully.
Willfully.
After that we receive
the knowledge of the truth.
There remaining no more sacrifice.
God is saying, if all you gotta do in your mind, if sin is all according to your will, then he ain't sending Jesus back for you. See, when we willful sin, we're doing things that we want to do. It's not that we don't know it's wrong. It's not that we don't understand what we're doing. It's my will is to do what I'm doing right now. And God is saying, as long as you're operating on your will, there is no Jesus coming back to save you. Let's get Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Paul said, what shall we say then?
Shall we continue in sin?
That continue there is the same thing as willful. You can keep missing, continue to miss worship. You can continue to not come. You can continue to not be faithful. You can continue to be the man, the husband you are. You can continue to be the woman you are. You can continue to be the wife you've been. You can continue to be the husband you've been. You can continue to be the member of the church you've been. You can continue to not come to worship on time. You can continue to sleep in services. You can continue to not come to Bible class. You can continue to do what you want to do because it's all about you and it's all about your will. Because if you knew God's will, you wouldn't do none of that. It's willful. You're moving on your will. When you move on God's will, there's something that comes with it. Get 2 Peter 3:9. You know, the thing about this whole thing is the whole world needs to hear this. Amen. We all operate off our will. Listen to what 2 Peter 3:9 says.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise.
God is not. God has you take a string, you pull it like that, that's tight. And long as I got it tight, there's no slack in it. I mean, I'm not gonna give a little bit so it'll drop a slack in it. So if the string's tight, if the rope's tight, there's no bending, no moving. Long as I keep it tight like that, long as I keep tension on it, it's gonna stay tight. The Lord is not slack. So when I move my hands in, it slackens the rope. What gives it some resistance, give it some a freedom to do it, move around like it wanted to move. I give it freedom to flop a little bit. But when I keep that rope tight, there's no slack, no freedom to move and do what it want to do because I'm in control. When God is in your life, he's in control. There's no slack.
Amen.
What he said, the Lord is not slack.
Concerning his promise.
Concerning what he promised. He promised the heaven. Understand that. The promise is a heaven to win and the promise is a hell. Y'all miss it? The promise ain't just heaven. He's not going to give in to us and let us do what we want to do and still go to heaven. That's grace doctrine. That's what Billy Graham and them guys preach. T.J. Fake and all them. You can't read this book and see slack. He said, Peter said, God is not slack concerning his promises as men count slackness. But his long suffering.
To us were.
That's why we're still alive. To us were. Here come his will. Not willing.
That any
that's
perish.
God's will. I'm not willing. That's not my will for you to perish.
But that all should come to repentance.
I gave my son so you didn't have to perish. I gave my son so you could be washed in the blood. To the visitors, you got to get washed in the blood. God's will is that you obey him. You obey him. You get baptized. His will is that you get washed in his son's blood.
Amen.
That's his will.
Amen.
But you can't do that until you do this. Read.
But the day of the Lord will come.
No. Go back to 2 Peter. He's not slack concerning his brothers. Some men count slack, but belongs to the Lord. Not willing that we perish. But.
That all should come to repentance.
But. Prerequisite to forgiveness is repentance. Brothers and sisters. We have to repent. You're not going to repent until you admit. Permit God's word to work on you like it should be doing this morning. Then commit to save your soul by repentance. Don't report either. I mean, for example, if you say, well, brother, sister, I have sinned. I repent of my sin. I confess my sin and ask God to forgive me. Now, imagine, brother. What sin are you repenting of? Is it the willful one? We can't help you with that one. If you're doing something today and you're going to go back home and do it again, you didn't repent. Stop fooling yourself. You didn't repent. It is not God's will for you to continue to do the same thing over and over and over and over. Living in an unmarried condition is one of the examples.
Amen.
Forsaking the assembly is another. Every week. Every week? Every other week? That's willful. There's nothing we can do to help you with that. We can't pray for you. He said don't pray for that sin. Why? It's a sin unto death. 1 John chapter 5. The sin unto death is the sin you never repent of.
Maybe I should just put this up. What do you think? It wouldn't have kind of just put it up. Take the mic. Throw it down. When they say drop the mic, it's drop the mic. It's man, if you don't get this, you won't ever get this. So here's the thing. Here's the thing, y'all. He's not going to let go. He's not going to slack it up so you can do what you want to do. So what is the message today, y'all? Stand up right and do what? First thing?
Come on, y'all, help me out. You wouldn't sleep through the whole sermon, will you? And some of y'all who want to know who I'm talking about, come see me. But you know you would sleep too. Now, did you get this part? Wake up. Number one. Number two. Number three. Why are you committing to save your soul? Why are you admitting to save your soul? Why are you permitting to let God's word help you save your soul? That's the message. Next week is going to be stand upright and submit. Following that, we're going to be talking about once you admit and you permit, and then you make this commitment to God, then you submit.
Amen.
And once you submit, you're ready for the fight. But until you get there, the devil is your daddy. He's the father of lies. And what I'm saying is, when a person can't admit, Brother Cash, they lying to themselves. When they can't permit, the devil's words work on them. But when God's word working, that's who your daddy is. He's the father of lies. And he has children. He has angels to him. Don't underestimate the other side. His name is Satan, the devil, Belial, Abaddon, Apollyon, prince of the world, king of the bottomless pit, the deceiver of the world, the old devil, the serpent with the deadly venom, sin. What can we do to win, y'all? Stand up right in. Stand right in. Stand up right in. What's coming next? What's next? After that, fight. Then after that, the end is coming. Good lesson. Let me change the tune here just a second. To the visitors, you all, we've had how many funerals in there, y'all? Man, you have no chance without baptism. You got to believe the Bible is right. Now, if you believe the Bible right, you believe in a Jesus who hung on a cross because he came to save you. You believe that God loved you, he gave his son. You'll believe that his son suffered, that he was beaten with a whip. He was mocked, he was spit upon. And you can believe he stayed on that cross to save you. You can believe that when he was on that cross, he looked at his offenders and he said, forgive him. You can believe that his father forsook him on the cross for you. You can believe that he hung there for 6 hours in pain and shame for you. You can believe they took him down and buried him in a tomb and he resurrected with power. And here's the command he gave in Mark 16:15-16. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature needs to hear the gospel. It's this good news story that you can be saved, that God loved you, that his son could show the greatest love any man could ever see, show and giving his life for you. You can believe that with all of your heart. And you can be baptized. He said, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. We got water right here. You can baptize you now. In Revelation 1:5, it talks about how the blood is going to wash away your sins. Acts 22:16 tells us the blood wash away sins when we're baptized. Ananias told Saul, arise while tarriest thou, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Somebody said, well, call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That's in the Bible, Romans 10:13. But you can't call until you've been washed. That's in your Bible too. It all lines up. All the Bible is right. All of it. You can't call on the Lord until your sins have been washed away. Because once your sins are washed away, you receive the Holy Spirit. And then you can drink this blood. This blood will keep you clean. Not you. Not you. It's the blood. And then you can sing with joy. Thank God for the blood. It's nothing but the blood. Amen. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. I'm going to tell y'all, every Sunday, I'm going to be in some church building, at the Church of Christ, in some Church of Christ building, drinking blood, drinking all of it. You know, Jesus said, drink ye all of it? Yeah. I try to suck the bottom out of them cups on Sunday morning. I don't want nothing left in there. I need all that blood. How about you? I need every bit of it. Try to suck it all of it. And then, so how many of y'all remember when you was drinking Jack Daniel? They say, when you went to the bar and you wanted more than one, you said, give me a what? What you say, Nate? Nate almost said, what'd you say, Brother MC? Cool to any brother. I like way Brother MC walk. He'd be cool. Brother MC, what you say when one second shot? Give you a double. Say that.
Double shot.
Give me a double. Sometimes, how many of y'all feel like you done messed up so much during the week? On Sunday morning, you say, man, can I have a double? Give me two cups. Amen, Walls. Yeah. But when you believe there's some power in that blood, you won't drink two cups of that, right, brother? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Just believe in the blood so much you drink two cups. And I'm just telling brother servants, they try to reap a two-cup movie because they need to be thinking about it. That brother, they're trying to get more than he's supposed to get. I just put a little humor in there because I told you go to hell if you're not baptized. But here's the thing about it. You will. You ain't going to be saved. The last part now. Don't let this hurt you. There's only one church in the Bible. It's the Church of Christ. Yeah. Acts 2:47 says to save the in the church. So then you got to ask yourself, which church? Because so many in Houston. So many in America, right? Well, if the one Jesus in this book, the one church ought to be in there. In Romans 16:16 says, salute one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ. Which one I'm going to tell you to save the end? The Church of Christ. Why you say that, brother? Because it's in the Bible. Are you a member of the Church of Christ? Then let me be the one who put it on your record. So when you stand before God, you can say you didn't know. You're not saved. You say, what? I say, you're not saved. It's on your record now. God know I told you. He know I told you. And it's in the book. So you stand before him. He said, I'll see you right there. And June, what's today's day? June 29th, June 30th? June 30th, 2019. Brooks, I see you right there. Well, Brooks said he always preached the cross. He put my son on the cross. Told you about my son's church. Told you about the blood. He told you that. Oh, that was a good sermon. He told you to admit, which was good. Permit, very good, Tommy. You told him to commit. You told him they had to be baptized. You did a good job, son. He did a good job. Now, what about you? Why you walked out that day and you didn't get baptized? What was the problem? You didn't believe it? What was the problem? What you thought I was going to have some slack on the day of judgment? You thought I was going to get away with not getting baptized? And then he said, well, then that's the visitor stepped in front. Then here come one of them highlight members. Of it. Now, he told you to be favored. I said, you didn't. You thought I was going to slack up because you was already a member of the Church of Christ? Huh? So you operated off your will, right? You didn't think my will. You didn't think about what I wanted you to do. You did what you wanted you to do. I see Brooks told you this right here on your record. Here's what I want to do today. If you're a visitor, I want you to know you have to hear the gospel, that good news. Number one. Number two, you got to believe. How many of y'all believe Jesus hung bleeding down on the cross? Amen. Number three, you got to repent. What that means? You got to make a decision. Say, you know what? I came in wrong, but I'm going to leave right. I came in not knowing the church was saved. I came in not being baptized. Or I came in baptized, but I wasn't a member of the Church of Christ. I had to get baptized again. Yes, you do. Because you can't be taught wrong and baptized right. So there your answer is. Amen. Acts 19, people got baptized twice because they weren't taught right the first time. That's in your Bible too. So you got to be baptized again. Number four, you got to confess before an audience, before me and you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, Matthew 10:32. What you got to do first? Here. Number two, believe. Number three, repent. Number four, make a confession. What confession? Sin? No. Confess what you're going to confess on the day of judgment. Where every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're going to do it whether you do it now or you're going to do it at judgment. The best thing, let me advise you, is better that you make this confession before men. Because Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I confess you before my Father. You deny me? I'm going to deny you. That's in your Bible too, Matthew 10:32-33. And then he said, every knee will bow and every mouth will confess. You're going to do it whether you do it now or judgment. Don't do it in judgment because that's not the right time. Amen. Then after that, you got to be baptized. Why? Because Jesus commanded. That's why. That's where sins are washed away. That's why. That's where you get the Holy Spirit. That's why. That's where you contact the blood. That's why. That's when the Lord would add you to the true church. Which is it? The church of? That's in the Bible too. So here's what I want to do. Where's my song leader? Right here. Well, you need to get in position. Give your mic back. I'm going to take this one. Thank you. How many of y'all need prayer this morning? Give me some juice. How many of y'all need prayer this morning? Let's try something today. What if Brother Brooks say, I want to be the first one to say, you know what? Highland Heights, I need y'all to pray for me, right? Can y'all pray for me? Y'all pray for me that I can stay true to the mission, stay true to permission, and stay true to my commission, my committee. I won't be the first one. I won't be the one leader here that'll stand up here in front of this audience and say, I'm him. Pray for me. I want to know how many other brothers come stand with me today. You know what I can say? I was a good man to my wife. I was a good husband. But I wasn't always. It came a day when I had to stand up and say, you know, I got to be a better daddy and a better husband. And when I admitted I got better because I wanted to be better. I wonder how many men want to be better. How many of us want to be the leaders of our families and our children and commit to the saving of our souls? So we all need prayer.
Amen.
I'd be ashamed to be a man and sit down. I'd be ashamed. What do you say, brother? I say, I'd be ashamed.
That's it.
Because every one of us ought to commit to the saving of our souls.
Amen.
And when we save our souls, we can save our wives. Amen. Let me give you a point. Let me give you a point. If the woman you love died, you don't want to live with no guilt like you didn't lead her to the Lord. And I don't live with that one. Because my wife was favored to the Lord. And I felt like I was a good spiritual leader.
Amen.
How high? This is the way we do it. What about our sisters? Any of them want to join your husband? To be a better wife? Better sister in Christ? To stand up right and admit. Y'all ain't going to join us? Are we going to have a prayer line today for all of us who want to just do this? Or am I the only one? Are these the only men? Do they need a wife with them? Yeah. What about a single woman who say, you know what, brother, God raises my children. I want to be the mother, the wife, the mama that raised my children. I want to be in this prayer line. Because I want my children to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven.
Amen.
I want to leave my family to heaven. Stand by your husband. Let him know I'm with you. I want to go with you. Be what you want to be. What about somebody who needs to be baptized? Why are you going to walk out today? When are you going to stand up and just say, I want to get back. I need to do this. Commit my life to the Lord.
Yeah.
You say, well, Brother Brooks, are you forcing us? No. You know what I've learned? That our minds are affected by truth.
Amen.
And when our minds are affected by truth, we can respond to truth. But when our minds are not affected by truth, we don't always respond to truth. Let's do one verse of a song. And then we're going to say prayer request. And maybe sitting, you say, well, today, not my day. And I would say to you, tomorrow is not your tomorrow either.
Amen.
Just remember that while you sit. Tomorrow belongs to God. One verse of a song, then we're going to pray. For those who came to pray, we're going to baptize those who came. Let's be standing.